Welcome to Focus Orlando with Jim Turner, a public affairs program from Salem Communications. Heard exclusively on the new 950 WTLN, News Talk 660 WORL, and 1520 WBZW, your hometown station. The views, opinions, and content of this program are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, its staff, management, or advertisers. Now, here's Jim.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for listening to Focus Orlando. I'm Jim Turner, and our special guest is Mike Shelton of Scotts Miracle-Gro. Now, we're not necessarily going to be talking about all the products that Scotts Miracle-Gro has, but we're going to talk about an initiative that Scotts Miracle-Gro is doing in Florida, right here in our own backyard, to protect our environment. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much, Jim. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Where did this initiative begin?
Well, that's a great question. It might be surprising that a lawn and garden company would be engaging in environmental protection efforts specifically focused on water quality issues. But if you think about it, the foundations of our company is really helping people enjoy the outdoors and actively engaging with their environment. So if they feel that their environment is polluted in some way, they're probably less likely to engage with gardening and lawn care activities and being outdoors in general. So for a long time, we have been engaged with environmental issues and specifically water quality. About a decade or so ago, folks in the Chesapeake Bay and Great Lakes regions approached us to try and address phosphorus that had been reaching their waters, because phosphorus is a nutrient in fresh waters that helps feed algal blooms. And so we looked at academic literature, and we looked at some consumer research we did in terms of what lawn practices were going on with our consumers. And we came to the science-based decision there that we could remove phosphorus from our lawn maintenance products and not only do that in those regions, but do that nationwide. So even in Florida there, our lawn maintenance products are phosphorus-free. So this is really just what we're doing here in Florida, kind of our next step in being part of the water quality solution to the issues that are happening in Florida right now.
Now, your company has people that that live right here in our own backyard, don't they?
You're exactly right. We, first and foremost, our CEO lives on the Treasure Coast right along the St. Lucie River. So he has been a personal witness to kind of the algal blooms and issues that have been happening in the Indian River Lagoon and other areas. But we also, more broadly, have about 500 people who work for our company that live in Florida, make Florida their home. And that includes a research station right there in Apopka that we've operated for going on almost 50 years now to do research on all of our products, including you know, how best to use fertilizer on different types of grass. So, you know, it's a personal issue for us. It's not just a feel-good item, as certainly our associates who live in Florida take advantage of the rich water resources that are there and use them as a great source of recreation. So it's a personal matter, too.
Now, you mentioned research and research in based on how your own products work, but also you guys are investing in scientific-based research to find out the effects on the economy, on the environment, and which also affects the economy as well.
Well, that's absolutely true. The environment and the economy in Florida are very closely linked. So we want to be part of a positive component there. And the way we're getting there through our research partnerships that we've announced just earlier this month include a couple of interesting bedfellows, so to speak. And one is the Ocean Research Conservation Association, which is a science-driven organization. They have developed this module that kind of looks like a cross between a spider and a satellite that you place into water, and it can measure essentially all the different nutrients or other pollutants in the water system, and you can get that data in real time so you can tie it to either practices that are occurring on land that would be draining into the water or different environmental events such as rain events or different weather patterns that might affect what's happening in the water. So those are extremely useful devices, and what we're doing it with Orca is to help deploy those devices in key areas around the Indian River Lagoon that will help us better determine what practices could be done on the land to keep nutrients where they need to stay.
Now, let me see if I understand you correctly. This information is available in real time. It's not a matter of gathering the information, then collecting it, and 5 years down the road, find out what happened in 2014.
That's generally right. It will take some time to compile. As you can imagine, the device will be collecting data on a daily and weekly basis, and it'll take a little bit of time to kind of process and look back over a month period, a 6 month period, you know, what exactly is happening. But we can pull that data on a day to day basis and tie it to real events or real situations happening at that particular time. We anticipate the research will be wrapped up in about a year, where we'll have a report, a year, maybe two. But we'll have a pretty good sense throughout the project of what kind of influence different things are having on water quality.
And then changes could be made if any are necessary.
That's absolutely right. You know, one thing that we're kind of anticipating is that it might help. What we hope the results will do is help give us guidance from a company standpoint of how we could be messaging to consumers about their practices to help keep nutrients on the ground where they're intended to be versus washing off into waterways. So it'll affect our operations and our communication tools in that regard. But it also, you know, will helpfully inform policy debate and other stakeholders of what else could be done from different sectors across Florida to address nutrient issues.
That segues perfectly into the next aspect of our discussion, and that's what can the average homeowner do? And part of your commitment is to educate homeowners.
That's right. You know, our CEO likes to say that we are the leader in consumer lawn and garden care, and as such, we have a responsibility to help our consumers use our products correctly in order to be good stewards of the environment. So it's really our responsibility to communicate to our consumers in a way that is kind of easy for them to understand and easy for them to execute. And so some of the things that you'll probably hear us talking about a little bit more loudly is very simple stewardship practices that are probably more convenient for them, actually, such as not mowing your lawn as much as what you probably do. We have found through our research and certainly academic research that grass that is about 3 to 4 inches high would be the ideal height, because that allows the grass roots to really get deep, hold soil in place so that you're preventing soil erosion, but then also that creates a nice thick mat of grass that does a couple of things. One, it prevents weed growth, so you should have less maintenance of your lawn if you have taller, thicker lawn grass. But then also that thicker grass, that taller grass, better traps nutrients from running off into sidewalks and driveways and then into the sewer system, which then eventually leads to our waterways. So the taller your grass is, the healthier your grass is, the better it helps keep nutrients where they need to be.
And it looks better, too. I think it does.
Yeah, it's certainly softer to play on as well. So if you have a family that likes to run around out in the lawn, it's usually better to have a longer length of grass there.
And now, listeners, I hope you caught this, that what Mike is saying, that we don't need to cut our grass as much. Boy, that's going to make a lot of people happy.
Yeah, certainly give some more time for playing catch with the kids on the lawn.
Yeah, it makes for a better use of Saturday time.
Well, we try to make it easy.
Mike Shelton is our special guest. He is with Scotts Miracle-Gro, and he's talking to us about how things that we can do to improve our environment, as well things that they are working on to improve water quality and our general overall environment as well. One of the other aspects of the initiative by your company is partnering with those of us here to help restore natural resources.
That's exactly right. You know, Jim, you had mentioned earlier that sometimes studies take a little time to get the data from and determine a direction from. So we'll continue to do that to get to science-based activities that we should be engaging in. But we already know some things that can be done to help improve water quality. So we're going to engage with some organizations that are actively doing that within Florida. The biggest example we have right now is a partnership we kicked off in Tampa earlier this month with an organization called Tampa Bay Watch. And they've developed a really great educational program that helps improve water quality by working with Tampa and St. Petersburg area middle and high school students to establish saltgrass nurseries on their school property. And so the students actually raise that grass, and then when it's mature enough, they'll harvest it and do plantings around Tampa Bay to restore salt marsh beds. And what they've been able to do over a period of time through that program is restore about 140 acres of wetland salt marsh habitat. And what that does is it's another filter, so to speak, for rainwater that comes into the bay off of land that has picked up nutrients along its course on the ground. So that salt marsh will grab that water, take up the nutrients, and then release cleaner water into the bay. And we are just so happy to partner with Tampa Bay Watch on that project, because it fills a couple of different initiatives. One, obviously, it's helping to improve water quality, but also it's really giving students the opportunity to get a hands-on development experience for how plants grow. You know, from our company standpoint, we're always concerned about where the next generation of gardeners are, and similarly, I think environmental groups are concerned about where the next generation of stewards are going to come from. And so this is a great program that kind of combines those efforts into one project that allows students to be educated on how they can be part of the solution, but then also gives them agronomic knowledge of how things grow. And hopefully they'll start an edible garden in their future when they're an adult because of the knowledge that they've gained and confidence that they've gained with growing plants in their school's own backyard.
Mike, the average person may say, well, grass is grass, but there are different types of grass. Are any of the types better for the environment, or are they all about the same as far as the environment is concerned?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. There, generally speaking, grass is a great source for soil erosion control and nutrient pickup, so to speak. If you can think about our agricultural practices, really since the Dust Bowl, we have been advocating to our farmers that they should install grass filter strips along waterways because as nutrients would run off of farm fields, those grass plants would be able to suck up the nutrients before they hit the waterway that they border. So that has been a long-term practice in the agricultural field. And if you think about it in a residential setting, your lawn can act in very similar way as a way to suck up the nutrients and suck up the rainwater that would otherwise hit a hard surface and go straight into the sewer or straight into a waterway like a river. So broadly speaking, grass is really efficient at using nutrients and sucking up water. That said, there might be slight variations in different types of grasses that might need a little bit less water, like zoysia grass versus other more common grass types. But broadly speaking, they all work pretty well. I think it comes down to how does an individual homeowner or resident feel? How do they like the look and the feel of their particular grass?
Very good. Mike Shelton from Scott's Miracle-Gro is with us, talking about what we can do to improve the environment by our grass and by our gardening and that sort of thing. One of the things that you guys are also doing, you guys, meaning Scott's Miracle-Gro, is supporting green infrastructure by community gardening. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, this is kind of our bread and butter as a company, as you can imagine. Nationwide, actually globally, we have an initiative we call Grow 1000, and that's an effort. Our 150th anniversary as a company is going to be coming up in 2018. So we set a goal to establish 1,000 community gardens and green spaces throughout the country by that 2018 date. So we are kind of chugging along through, and what it is it's essentially a grant program. We partner with the U.S. Conference of Mayors on that program to essentially put together green spaces and gardens that their communities then basically, you know, maintain and develop as they desire. And we provide financial assistance and products to help get that garden off the ground, so to speak. But what we're doing in Florida is a little bit more targeted than that. So we're taking the concept of that program, but we're working with some foundations in state to help develop a garden in every county within the state. And we're hoping, I think, to do that over 3 years. So this year we anticipate about 20 to 30 counties throughout Florida will be receiving a grant of some type to establish a garden. I should mention, stepping back, that both Miramar and Tallahassee were both awarded one of our larger grants through the Grow 1000 program earlier this year. So we'll have events in both of those locations with their mayors coming up later this year. But we'll be opening up a grant application for different counties and different communities and different organizations really to apply to start a garden. And a lot of that has been very transformative for the local community. You know, there's a lot of what's called food deserts throughout the nation. That's locations where there's not readable access to fresh fruits and vegetables in different communities. And so if you can establish an edible garden, then your community immediately opens up to having access to fresh fruits and vegetables for particularly underserved communities. So that effort has been just a wonderful and delight for us to participate in, because we see communities taking upon themselves kind of a rebuilding process that allows their underserved communities to have access to fresh fruit and vegetables. But then also other communities will try and utilize the grant to establish a new park of some sort and, you know, provide new open space for their communities to use and recreate on. So it can take a lot of different forms. Our goal is really just to help people realize their dreams through the grant, and in terms of providing, you know, community green space to enjoy and participate in.
At what point will we be able to see some positive results of this initiative?
Well, you should certainly, it should be probably later this spring or early summer, certainly with the Miramar and Tallahassee grant gardens going into place. But then, like I said, 20 or 30 counties around the state should be receiving some funding and starting their gardens this year. So it should be pretty immediate.
Very good. And it's interesting, in listening to your response to two questions ago, I was reminded of a former boss that I had, that something that he said that had nothing to do with the environment, but it applies directly, and that's protect what you have. In this case, he was talking about money and your investments and your financial position in life. But this is even better than financial position, because we can have no money in our pocket but still enjoy the environment.
That's absolutely right. You know, and certainly it speaks to quality of life. You know, so many people choose to live in Florida, whether they were born there or come from somewhere else, because of the environment, specifically because of the wonderful natural resources that are found there. And the comment to protect what you have is absolutely imperative for a location like Florida, where so much of the economic activity is a result of people wanting to be in a setting where they have access to beaches, where they have access to inland springs, where they have access to inland lakes. So it's certainly a driving factor for the economy, and we're just trying to do all our small part to protect that overall resource so that we can all benefit from it.
And not only in going to beaches and things like that, but also a place to see some fantastic wildlife.
Oh, goodness, for sure. The birds there, the certainly all the creatures in the waters, manatees, you name it, Florida has it. It's fantastic flora and fauna.
Now, Mike, is this going to be, this is just the starting point of an ongoing effort, is it not?
That's right. We're currently looking at a 3-year initiative, and then we'll probably reassess where we're at and continue some items and recalibrate other items as we develop learnings, certainly from the research about how we can be working better into the future.
Now, I wanted you to go back, and I know that there are some people waking up, and especially the guys who are waking up today in order to cut grass. And you stated earlier that the best way is to let your grass grow a little longer than what maybe you've been accustomed to.
Yeah, that's right. You know, one thing that we say is go out, check your mower, and turn it up one setting, maybe even two, so that you can get grass blades that are 3 to 4 inches tall. Again, that's going to be more convenient for you because you'll have to mow your lawn less, but and maybe save you some gas money filling up the lawnmower. But it also, what it does from an environmental perspective is it allows the roots to grow deeper, which holds the soil into place better and allows them to become healthier plants, which then crowds out weeds. So you have to do less weed management if you let your grass grow longer and kind of fill in and thicken up. But then from a water quality standpoint, that thick stand of grass will help nutrients stay on the lawn, whether they're coming from a lawn fertilizer product or they're coming from rainwater that is draining off of a hard surface. That grass will act as a filter before that water reaches a waterway that either your sewer or is located near your home. So it's certainly a convenience factor, but also certainly a much better environmental act to let your grass grow.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, Mike, thank you very much for what your company is doing here. And thanks for also reminding us that we need to protect what we have, because, hey, we may not get this again. And it's great that your company, Scott's Miracle-Gro, is taking the initiative. And there's a lot that we can learn, but not only by listening to the name of your company, but listening to what you had to say about protecting what we have.
Thanks so much, Jim. Always appreciate talking to you.
Okay, Mike, thank you for being with us, and you be safe.
This has been Focus Orlando with Jim Turner, a weekly public affairs program from Salem Communications, Orlando. Heard exclusively on the new 950 WTLN, News Talk 660 WORL, and 1520 WBZW, your hometown station. The views, opinions, and content are those of the host and guests, not necessarily those of Salem Communications, its staff, management, or advertisers.